Easter. And so the first thing I want to look at, and we're going to look at some testimonies, some unforgettable testimonies, but look in Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50, and let's look at the testimony of the centurion. And the testimony of the centurion is very important, because what he tells us, not just him, by the way, but those that were with him, that Jesus is real. So we got to go into seeing just for a moment. So imagine that you've been at the cross and you're witnessing the crucifixion. You've heard all of these things that Jesus has said, or some of the things that he has done, or maybe perhaps you've even seen some of the miracles that he has worked. And so here we have this Jesus that could walk on water. He had Peter that got to walk on water. He could turn water into wine. We have this Jesus that had healed people that they knew. He had healed blind people and deaf people and paralyzed people. Jesus has done all these miracles. Many of them may have been on the side of the hill and ate with the 5,000 as Jesus performed the miracle and fed over 5,000. And so Jesus, all through this time, he's done all these signs. In fact, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, which is the unique gospel, it's a little different than Mark, Luke, and Matthew, in that it points to the deity of Christ, whereas Matthew points to the kingship of Christ. So when you're reading Matthew, he's getting to the details of revealing that he's king, that he is Jesus, the Son of God. Luke hits that as well quite a bit too. And so they come to the cross and they're mystified. It's a mystery. It's like, okay, Jesus could do anything. I mean, they went to throw him off of a cliff one time. Remember that? And they're talking to each other. I mean, I can't believe that Jesus isn't working some kind of miracle. I can't believe that he's letting them crucify him. I can't believe that he doesn't just come off of that cross. In fact, they began to mock Jesus to come off the cross. You've saved others, save yourself. They knew of the miracles Jesus had performed. And so here is Jesus. Now, if you're the centurion and you're stationed at the base of the cross, and you're watching all of the events that are happening on Friday, you've seen a lot of things happening through the last 3 years especially. You've heard the claims of Christ that he claimed to be the Son of God. By the way, it was the very accusation that put him on the cross. He was an innocent man, but he claimed to be the King of the Jews. We talked about that this morning at sunrise service. In fact, Pilate had made a sign and put it on top of the cross, King of the Jews. That was his accusation. That's why that sign was above him on the cross, is because that's what they did. When they crucified you, they put your accusation on a sign and they nailed it to the top of the cross so that as people passed by, they could read the accusation and it would be a warning to them, you don't do the same thing or you could end up on a place like this. Well, Jesus' claim was to be king. And so here he is, and here's this centurion, and here's his folks with him that are guarding Jesus. And look at what the Bible says. Start in verse 50. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, now this is at the end of the day, Jesus has bore the sins, our sins in his body that we might become the righteousness of God. Notice that Jesus gives his life as a sacrifice. We always have to remember this. Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 10, that he had been given from the Father the ability to take up his life and to lay it down and then to raise it back up. That had been given from the Father. He had that ability. And look at what he does. None of us can do this, but Jesus did it. And with a loud voice, Jesus cried out again. In a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. The other gospel says, he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Upon those words, Jesus died. He didn't have to have his legs broke. The Bible said in the Old Testament that none of his bones were broken. None of that had to happen. Why? Because Jesus gave his life voluntarily as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus gave his life. Jesus could have hung on that cross indefinitely had he decided to, because he was still God. He could have hung there. He could have come off that cross had he decided to. He could have jumped off that cross and with one word annihilated every living soul, every living today and then, had that been his choice. But Jesus chose to die as an atonement for our sins. And look at what happens, verse 51. At the moment that his head dropped in death, physical, real death, at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two, pictured from heaven, from the top down. Now it's important because the veil separated the Holy of Holies in the temple from the common man. And then only a certain time of year, which was this time of year that Jesus is dying at Passover, 14th of Nisan, could a priest enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood and make atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus himself dying at that very day that was started in Exodus when God made the new year, the new Jewish year, whenever he delivered Israel out of Egypt. Jesus died on that very day, just like it was in the celebration of the Passover of coming out of Egypt. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. In other words, God was saying, all right, folks. He's saying, now, anybody, and Hebrews tells us this, anybody who is willing can now enter into the glory of the Lord, enter into heaven through Jesus Christ, the one and true sacrifice of all time. He's saying, I'm going to split the veil myself. And he split it in two. The earth shook, the rocks split. Matthew's the only one that records some of these details. We hear of an earthquake in the other Gospels, but Matthew kind of gets a little bit more detail. Look at verse 52. And the tombs broke open. Now, remember, Matthew has given us a broad picture of miraculous events that took place. Now he's jumping ahead, and he's going to share something in verse 52 that happened after the resurrection. So just bear with me on this. And the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people. Many scholars believe that the reason it's holy people is this was some or a few Old Testament saints that God allowed to be resurrected after the first fruits of the resurrection, which was Jesus, and to be allowed to come out of the grave and go into the holy city and then ascend on into glory following Jesus. Because, see, they weren't raised to die again like Lazarus. They were raised because Jesus is showing, I am the first fruits of the resurrection. And if you don't believe it, maybe you're having a hard time believing me, but let me tell you, this is so important. Jesus is saying it's so important. You don't miss this, because if you don't understand this, you'll spend an eternal destiny in hell. It's that important. And he's saying, if you don't believe me, just look at some of those folks, and boy, they're right there in the holy city, Jerusalem. Look at some of these folks in glorified bodies. They can eat with you, yet they can go through walls, because that's what Jesus did. He had a body that had a different molecular structure. And so bodies are raised from the dead. Now, I'm not making this up. This is the only place you're going to see this. It's right here in Matthew. Look at it again, verse 52. And the tombs broke open. How would you like to have been sitting by that tomb? And it broke open, and that thing had a marker on it, 1,500 years old. And somebody walks out. I mean, can you imagine? These things happen. Who had died were raised to life. 53, they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. Matthew wanted us to not miss that. It was after Jesus' resurrection, because he's the first fruits. And went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Look at verse 54. When the centurion, now he's getting back to his original thought of where things are happening at the cross. When the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all. Boy, there's a lot encompassed in that word all. You can read all that all as you read the other gospel accounts and just see the things that happened that day. No crucifixion had ever experienced the signs that were accompanied to Jesus' crucifixion. All that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, now watch this. This is like a death sentence to say this. They just crucified Jesus. They were wanting to do some harm, whether it be whip, scourge, whatever they could do to his disciples. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. When they struck the shepherd, the sheep scattered. We always look at the denial of Peter, but the truth is, the Bible says that all the disciples fled. All of them did. You know who was there that stayed with him the whole time? It was the ladies. The ladies stayed with Jesus. They were there to minister to him. What would the churches do without the ladies? Look at verse 54. When the centurion. Now you know what a centurion is. In fact, that's why it's called a centurion. Century. They were generally commanders over a whole garrison, over a whole group of military leaders. But this is a centurion, and those with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified and explained, surely he was the Son of God. You know what they're saying? They're saying, he is real. But it's even better. Because the Bible says, and all that was with him, the ones that were there with this man, with this centurion, they saw the same thing. And so it hit them like right in the middle of the heart. And here's what hit them. Everything that Jesus has claimed is true. It's true. They could not deny the evidence before them. These are folks with calloused hearts, hard hearts. They'd witnessed many crucifixions, but yet they believed that he was the Son of God. But look at the second one. There's the testimony of the angel, and their testimony, you'll pick up on it in chapter 28. Look at verse 1. The testimony of the angel, and we're going to read it through verse 6, and that is, he is risen. The centurion says, and all those that are with him, that he is real, but the angel says, he is risen. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, something that takes away some confusion that can really confuse you is, remember, we use a different calendar than what the Jewish people used. For a Jew, nightfall is what they called the next day. For you and I, we call it bedtime. That's when we go to bed. And we look at the next day, if you want to get technical, at 12 midnight, 12:01, now you're entered into, or 12 o'clock, you've entered into a new day, a new 24-hour day. For them, at nightfall, you entered into a new day. That's how you explain the 3 days and three nights. Crucified on Friday. He's buried before that nightfall because the Sabbath has got to begin. And they didn't want to leave anybody on the cross. In fact, they came to break his legs. But he was already dead. Why? Because they said the Sabbath day is beginning. It's fixing to be the Sabbath day. And we can't have anybody on the cross. Why? Because that day started that night. Jewish calendars were different. In fact, they had a 360-day year. We have a 365-day year. And so it explains the scriptures when we understand their calendar. And the Bible says that they had left to go look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Notice he gives us the geographic picture there. He came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. Verse 4, the guards were so afraid of him. Notice where their fear was. I got a feeling all this is happening so fast. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Have you ever been that scared? They were literally scared to death. Look at verse 5. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. They took them to the grave. Look inside the grave. He's not here. You see, we have to always remember that Jesus, he didn't have to roll the stone away to get out of the grave. In fact, the Bible tells us that he appeared in an upper room or in a temple in an upper area. And how did he appear? He just appeared. The doors were shut. Is what the Bible says. He's in there. You know why? Because in our resurrected bodies, you ask yourself, what kind of body are we going to have when we are resurrected, when we're in heaven with the Lord? You'll have a body like Jesus's. Jesus was in a human body as he lived for us on this earth. And in his resurrection body, he shows us what it'll be like. Jesus could eat fish, boiled fish. He could eat and he could do all these things. Why? Because he's in a glorified body. It's not limited by anything. And you say, well, how in the world did he go through a wall? He had a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Jesus had a spiritual body that overcame gravity, space, time, all of those things. Jesus could go like this. In fact, he told the ladies at one time, he said, don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. Well, for you and I, when we think about a trip to heaven, I mean, I've never been there before. I'm in the heavenly places as a Christian. But you may think of it like getting there on a spaceship. Well, you'd go a long ways before you get there on a spaceship, and then you couldn't get in because only those that have been redeemed can get in. Well, maybe you could if you've been redeemed, but don't try to go on a spaceship because I don't think you're going to find heaven doing that. But that's the picture. He's saying you're not going to get there any other way. And so what happens is you and I have the testimony of an angel saying, he is risen, the grave is empty, Jesus didn't have to roll the stone away, he rolled it away so that you could get in and see yourselves that grave is empty. Now, that's in the presence of a guard, of men that are standing by watching it, because why? Because those religious rulers remembered something. The wicked people that began to cry out, crucify him, what did they do? Remember, they said, we remember something. We remember him saying that in 3 days he would rise again. And they wanted to make sure he ain't getting out of that tomb. Didn't do any good, though. So they put a wax seal. They sealed the stone. They placed guards around it to make sure nobody messes with that tomb. But that was nothing for God. God just sent one angel down there and said, go down there and open the door and let everybody go in. I want them to see that it's empty. Jesus had already exited the tomb. It's an interesting thing. And so the angel says, listen, he is risen. Now, I want you to understand this about how important those three words are. That's some of the most important words in all of the Bible. He is risen. In fact, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says that our preaching would be empty and futile, that it would be in vain if Christ didn't raise from the dead. In fact, if Christ didn't come out of that grave, if he didn't raise from the dead, we can shut our Bibles right now and we might as well go home if he didn't raise from the grave. That's how important that is. In fact, that is the doctrine of Christianity. That's our hope. We would not even be able to have eternal life had Christ not come out of that grave. That was the whole purpose. And so he is risen, three of the most important words in all of the Bible. You know, it's interesting to me that the resurrection is mentioned 40 times in the New Testament. And I think that God did that on purpose. He does everything on purpose. Because if you go back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was being tempted of the devil, for how long? 40 days and nights he's been tempted of the devil. Jesus fought the devil with, it is written, it is written, it is written. The devil didn't want Jesus to accomplish the cross. In fact, all the devil needed Jesus to do is just commit a sin. Disobey the Father somewhere one time, and it'll thwart the Word of God. Because no longer would Jesus be sinless. So the devil just wanted to stop him. He didn't want him to go through with the cross, and he didn't want to see a victory at the cross. Because he knew that if he saw it, he was doomed. That was his defeat. And so the devil is trying to stop what Jesus is doing, but 40 times we read in the New Testament about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus had used those words of God to defeat the enemy. I think he's rubbing it in his face. Say, remember them 40 days you tried to stop me? 40 days. 40 times in the New Testament, I'm going to remind you of the resurrection. Now my saints will be armed. I will remind them of the resurrection. 40 times they can read about it, specifically the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I have to do the same thing. So whenever you're going through things, what we tend to do is we tend to forget the doctrine and the tenets of our faith. When we're going through things, we're like, God, where are you at and why? It's a natural human thing. It's what we all do. Where are you at and why? I thought about it like this. If those are the three words that really contain the whole of the Bible, because apart from the resurrection, apart from he is risen, all of the other truths in the Bible couldn't have been believed because then we don't have anything to authenticate it. In fact, I told y'all one time I used to have a Bible, and on John 3:16, on that same page of John, I took a page stamp, a red page stamp we used in our business because it was so important to me to remind myself. I had so much guilt and so much shame from the life I had before I became a Christian with the alcoholism and everything else that I took a stamp and I stamped that page paid in full. I stamped it so that every time I'd come across it, it would remind me. It's been paid in full. And I knew that Jesus authenticated it. That Jesus said, listen, you can take it to the bank. You can trust it because I have paid it in full. Not only did I pay it in full, I gave you the prophecies to prove it. Historical records prove it. Biblical records prove it. That I resurrected from the grave. Even Josephus himself, a historian, wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the things that happened. Why? Because they were undeniable truths. And you can take them to the bank. And so think about it like this, and I have to think of things in ways like this, but you're depressed and you're down. I don't know, you don't have to do this, but you can always buy another pillowcase. Write on your pillowcase, He is risen. Put it on your mirror, He is risen. Put it on your pill bottle, He is risen. Put it in the Bible somewhere all over, He is risen. Put it on the walls in your house, He is risen. And remind yourself, He is risen as often as you can. And the reason for that is Satan doesn't want us to remember that He is risen, because Satan wants us to put Him back in the grave, put Him back on the earth, and put Him back in the same old situation He was in before the cross and the resurrection, so that we start trusting in what we can do instead of what God can do. And that is very important to our faith. He is risen. Simple words, He is risen. In fact, you can see those words many times on epitaphs, on gravestones. He is risen. But I like the third one, and that's the testimony of Jesus. Rejoice. Your translation may say greetings. Look at verse 7, 28:7. 28 verse 7. He has just been told, the angel has just declared that He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where He lay. Now look at verse 7. Then go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. Now, I want you to see something that's so easy to not see. There, you will see Him. Notice the word you. He's talking about that select few, those ladies that are there that have met with the angels. He's saying there, or met with the angel, there you will see Him. Go to Galilee. He's already left. He's going ahead of you. And you will see Him. Now I have told you. He's saying you can take it to the bank. I'm an angel sent from heaven, and I have told you. Look at verse 8. So the women hurried away. I don't blame them. From the tomb. Now this is important to see. Some translations say fear. Mine says afraid. Afraid yet filled with joy. Okay? Have you ever been really excited and scared at the same time? They're like, I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions. Why? They're scared to death, but they're also filled with joy. Why? They're excited that their Savior lives, that their friend Jesus is alive. They're excited about it, but they're trying to take it all in. Okay, you got to remember, they grew up in an era where if you made God mad or you did something wrong to God, they grew up in an era that they believed that the judgment was fixing to come down and come down heavy. So they're running scared. Uh-oh. Okay, but the angel just said, we'll see Him there. He didn't say anything about any bad stuff coming down the pike. We're going to go see. They knew that God had just been unjustly crucified and that everybody stood by and did nothing. There was fear. What's He going to do to us? If He's back in town alive in a resurrected body, what's He fixing to do to us? And so Jesus, knowing that, He knows their heart. Look at verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell His disciples. Suddenly, now I like this because it's the picture of how Jesus doesn't have to just walk for distance. He could get anywhere He wanted to, whether it's by walking or by thought. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Look at His first words. Some translations say, rejoice. Because rejoicing takes away the fear. He says, greetings, in some translations. They came to Him. Look at what they did. Clasped His feet and worshiped Him. How can anybody not go to the cross, come to an empty tomb, and not want to worship a living Savior in a glorified body? And can you imagine, think about this just for a minute. We're almost done, but think about this just for a minute. You've just witnessed one of the most brutal crucifixions you've ever seen. You've just witnessed This man being scourged, the Bible says that his visage was marred more than that of any man. I mean, he is hardly recognizable. You've just witnessed a man being beat with 39 stripes on his back with a cat of nine tails, they say, with bone and metal tied into the strands. He has been lacerated. You've just witnessed all these things, and it's fresh on your mind. You've just witnessed this man being taken off the cross by his friends, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, and you've just witnessed Jesus being placed in this new tomb, fulfillment of Isaiah 53:9. His death was with the wicked, but his grave was with the rich. He died as a man being tormented by his torturers. God allowed the wicked. He permitted the wicked to hit him with their fist. He permitted the wicked to spit on him. He permitted the wicked to harm him. But after his death, we talked about that at the sunrise service this morning. Once that spear stuck into his heart and the blood and water flowed, no longer did God let the wicked touch his king. They accused him of being a king. He got the burial of a king because God said he has the last word. That's his way of saying, he's my king. He's my king. And he gave him a burial with the rich. We sang it a while ago. He borrowed the tomb. He didn't need it for very long. He just borrowed it. He says, rejoice. Now, it's interesting. Look at the rest of what Jesus says. Look at verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Why? He knew they were afraid. He says, go. Now, this is so important and so easy to miss. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they. See the difference in the words? There they will see me. It started out, there's a progression. It started out, the angel said, you will see him. And then it goes from the angel, then they make it to Jesus. And then Jesus says, go tell my brothers, and they will see me. And then you get over here to the end of this same chapter. Look at Matthew chapter 28. And you get down here at the end, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. See the progression? Jesus is saying, I'm a Savior for Gentile. I'm a Savior for Jew. I'm a Savior for all the nations, all the world. It starts out, you will see him. Then they will see me. And now nations will see me. Today, over 2,000 years later, if those disciples could look through time and see you and I sitting in this church today, they would be on their knees in astonished worship, as they probably are, saying, every word God said has come to pass. Let the word of God be true, and let every man be a liar. And Jesus Christ, as all of his word is becoming true, and now to this day, we're taking the authority that has been given at the cross with he is risen, and all that authority has been given to Jesus, and therefore, because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, not some of them. That's powerful. It's powerful. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that powerful? That's the Savior that we serve. He is awesome. He is amazing. You know, I was thinking about the surprise, how these women had to be so surprised when they met Jesus on that road. You can't help but think about it. First thing that Jesus says is, rejoice or greetings. Now, there's something that we got to understand in this. There was a lot of surprises taking place. In a little bit, the disciples are going to have some surprises. Some doubted, but Jesus let Thomas and some others touch him and to really see that it was truly him. Last Sunday when y'all gave me that surprise birthday party, I told people all week, this is the lovingest church on planet Earth. They can, a whole church can keep a secret. I was in TEL class last Sunday morning, and I can't believe nobody gave it away because they knew. But I didn't go in the NA building because I was trying to help Shirley find her keys. It was lost in the great unknown. But the neat thing is it was a surprise. Once y'all said, 1, 2, 3, surprise, you know what happened? A mystery was revealed. When they saw Jesus, a mystery was revealed. The mystery of the cross, the mystery of things Jesus said they couldn't quite understand, it was all revealed. It was a mystery, but now it's revealed. It's what Revelation is about. It's a revelation of Christ. He's revealed to all of the world.